slew of them had it, but a Nurse Honeycutt, he never forgot her name, kept them all alive. People died all over Birmingham, but none of the Howard students did. My brother thought the world of Honeycutt. Well, your brother was very fortunate, Mary said. Being in a large city during the influenza epidemic was challenging for my parents. They kept me indoors as much as possible. That's all they knew to do. Even a few years later, after the danger of the sickness had passed, they still kept me inside most of the time, partially out of habit and partially out of lingering fear. Taking a sip of cold lemonade, Mary said, "My parents were young and doing the best they could to make their way in the city, but they eventually realized how lonely I was. Our apartment building was full of older girls who were too busy to play with me, or little boys who were quite disgusting. So I entertained myself most days." "Oh, I grew up with brothers," Carly laughed, "so you don't have to tell me about gross little boys." "Playing alone builds imagination," Horace said. "I never had the chance to be alone because I had 10 brothers and sisters and never once had to think of anything to do. I just woke up and there was always something going on." He thought for a moment, then added, "Years later, my church congregation was as loud as my family back home, so the times when I sat alone and wrote my sermons in peace and quiet was wonderful." Mary listened to his story and then said, "My father had a similar job, both chaotic and quiet. It was in the center of the busiest place in the world. He was an engineer with the port of New York. When he returned home every evening, he described the ships and the people he'd seen." She blotted the perspiring lemonade glass with a napkin and said, "My mother tried to keep me busy during the epidemic by turning me into a little homemaker. By the time I was 4 years old, I could boil an egg, darn socks, and hem the edge of a handkerchief." Horace's eyes twinkled as he playfully shouted, "Good! I have some socks you can mend." As she rolled her eyes upward, Mary let out a "hmph" and said, "Go darn your own smelly socks." Carly laughed and pretended to scold them. "Okay, you two, be nice." Chapter 2, A Change of Plans. Annie emerged from her cottage and joined the others on the porch. "Hello, old girl," Horace called. "Watch it, Buster," Annie said as she winked and gave a gentle swat to the back of his head. Attempting to cool off, Carly pulled her hair into a ponytail and said to Annie, "Mary's telling us what her family did during the Spanish flu in 1918. Do you remember it?" "I wasn't born until 1920, so I missed it," Annie said as she eased herself onto the metal glider facing the rocking chairs. "But I heard all about the sickness years later from my uncles, who traveled the world in the military. It was devastating. I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again."
"I don't know," said Horace. "We're in the 2000s now. Anything can happen. Computers can't fix everything. I reckon anything is possible." Carly poured lemonade for Annie and said, "Mary, what did your family like to do for fun in New York?"
More questions? Thought Mary. Slightly agitated, yet secretly happy for new friends, Mary decided to share just a little bit more. So she took a breath and said, "Well, in addition to his regular job at the port, my father, Joseph, also played in a jazz band. He and his friends played every now and then at the neighborhood club. He played the saxophone and piano, and when he'd practice in our apartment, the neighbors across the hallway would cheer. I remember dancing around the room to the music. He said I was his little flapper."
"Oh, the flappers," joked Horace. "We heard about those wild big city women."
The small group laughed and waited while Mary gathered her thoughts. Her face broke into a smile as she seemed to remember something. "Knowing how lonely I was and seeing how much I loved the neighbor's new baby, my parents decided to get me a baby doll for Christmas. They thought I would stay busy playing house. Mother gave Father explicit instructions on the exact type of doll he was to purchase. The next day, which was only a week before Christmas, he left work early and walked through the snow flurries to get to Schwartz Toy Bazaar to find the doll."
"Schwartz? I've heard of FAO Schwartz," Carly